I mean, first of all, you tell me just where your place was, where you were during the Depression.
Well, we lived in Stanford.
In Stanford?
Well, no, it was 5 miles north of Stanford. And, let's see, we moved over there in 27, I believe, and tried to find a place to farm, but couldn't find it. So we ended up by having a leased place.
Uh-huh.
And the crops were so bad that the most we ever got was 4.5 bushels to the acre.
That was your best crop.
Mm-hmm. And one year it hailed besides, so we didn't get anything. So we didn't have very much to live on. Had a few pigs and butchered them. And I know we had a couple of milk cows. And we sold cream. And like he told you, that the cream check didn't hardly... It either bought the groceries for the day or it bought gasoline to go back and forth.
Had to choose.
Yes, yeah, about like that.
How many cows were you milking, do you
think?
Well,
no, I'm sure never more than three.
Uh-huh.
But my husband was in such bad shape that we had to even have his brother-in-law come out and milk the cows.
Oh.
Because he had a peculiar accident when he was a child. And, well, this is kind of off the subject.
No, that's fine. Without making a living out here.
When we were married, he teased me about it because he had a gap in his front teeth. And he said, oh, I'll just put a bean in it for the wedding. But he did go and have that tooth put in, a false tooth put in.
Uh-huh.
But he wouldn't have his picture taken. Isn't that crazy? So, in disturbing that, it had released some of the poison that was up in his, you know.
Sinuses?
He'd been kicked by a horse, see, and that had, so the tooth had never come down.
Probably abscessed up there.
Yes, and there it was. So, for a long time we worked on that, and he'd go to Geyser, which was over quite a ways from us.
Yeah.
And then he would, next thing he heard was a dentist in Stanford, and he went in there and he got out a few more pieces. Well, I'm getting ahead of my story, because when we left my father's place out here, he was bent over so he couldn't stand up very well. And that summer, he took buyers all over the country, because he had lived in Stanford before we were married. His family lived there.
Mm-hmm.
So he took buyers all around that summer to make a living.
Are these people looking for land, or are these cattle buyers?
Cattle buyers,
okay.
Yes, uh-huh. And then that winter, see, our second child was born that summer. And during the winter, his brother came out from Stanford. He was working in a grocery, and he would milk the cows and then stay overnight and go back in and work in the store the next day. But finally, the next summer, he began to get rid of some of that poison.
Mm-hmm.
So he was better off.
They had to keep at the dental work till they got it all out? Was that sort of the thing?
Well, a man in Great Falls had worked on it and had taken out most of it, but that bone sort of had to work out.
I see.
And afterwards, when he finally got all of that off, then it drained and it was okay.
He didn't have enough hardship with the land and the Depression. He had to fight something like that in the family, too.
That was, that was 27 when we went over there. And the Depression really, didn't start until after the market crash and everything in 29.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there till 33, and then we went to Highwood.
Uh-huh.
But during that time, as I say, the cream check didn't cover very much. And one time, my husband thought he would sell a calf. So he butchered the calf and took it to town and got the check for it. But before we could get out of town, the butcher ran after us and said, I can't use that meat. I can't use it. It's full of fan weed. And that had spoiled the meat.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Huh. He could tell that when he had butchered it?
Yes, apparently he could.
Huh.
So he wouldn't take it. He wanted his money back.
I see. He caught up with you before you got to cash the check, huh?
Yes. Then another time, my children, of course, they didn't get very much in the way of gifts, you know, mm-hmm. Christmas and birthday and all that. So one time, the little boy wanted a tricycle pretty bad. He talked about it, and didn't have much of a place to ride it. But nevertheless, his dad wanted to get that tricycle. So he sold a weaned calf, traded it for a used tricycle. And I told that to somebody the other day, and they couldn't believe it. They just couldn't believe that. You know, the price of cattle nowadays.
Yeah.
But those days, you didn't get very much.
Yeah, right.
And then another thing that happened during this time was my father had given me a house in Helena when we were married. And this stained glass window that's at the end
down
of
at the end here, yeah.
It was in that house.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
And he said, you can't have the window, but you can have the house. And he brought the window down here.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't getting anything out of it because the people that rented, it seemed as though there was always something to be done. And so it all went back in, mm-hmm. you know, for repairs and all that. So first thing you knew, the people that were renting at that time, the husband died, and the widow was in bad shape. So the agent that was taking care of it made a suggestion that I just sell her the house. And I sold it at a very low price, just being sorry for her. And my father was a little bit disgusted with me. He said, it looks to me like you should be thinking a little bit about yourself. But nevertheless, this happened before the earthquake in Helena, so I was kind of glad I got
there. Oh, yeah, the
before that.
Mid-20s, 25 was
so
that?
So many houses were destroyed.
Uh-huh. So you made a better business deal than you thought.
I can't remember when the earthquake was, but it must have been closer to 30.
Was it?
Uh-huh. I think
okay.
So.
I've seen pictures of people standing in a crack in the earth on my Three Forks. All I've ever seen.
Well, that was another one.
Was it?
Yes, uh-huh. That was when...
This one hit Helena specifically.
We call that about Quake Lake down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, did you grow up here in Fort Benton?
Yes, this was my home. My family.
This is your family home we're sitting in, huh?
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's a nice old house.
It was built about the turn of the century.
Uh-huh.
And my folks got it within 2 or 3 years after that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did your family do here?
My father was an attorney.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your husband grew up at Stanford,
no,
did you say?
No, he was born in Illinois, and his uh-huh. folks ended up in Iowa before they came out here. And I think his father ran an elevator back there, and then they homesteaded.
Mm-hmm. They come out in that great... homesteading binge
yes,
before World War One.
Yes, that's right.
Uh-huh.
And he, at that time, had finished his college work and was working as a manager at a home or a farm back there in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But when his folks came out here, his brother urged him to come, and they could all take up land together. Well, he didn't really file at that time, but he did come out and help. And they all went under in 19 when it was so bad that loans and everything, you know, they just, mortgages just took over everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that they hung on for a few years, but he got out again and went to Bell to manage a place for a stock company down there, and that's where I met him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where were they homesteading?
Well, it was in north of Stanford.
North of Stanford, mm-hmm. down
yes.
there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was up on the bench land.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, and let's see, and you went to Stanford after you were married then, huh?
Well, we lived in Belt for a year or two, and we lived on my father's place for a little while out here near Montague.
Yeah, right. So you and he never homesteaded, actually. You were
not together, although after he came, no, wait a minute, before he was in the Army, he was in World War I, he filed on homestead. And evidently spent some time there, enough to get started, how they do. He had a little shack or something.
Had to prove up.
And that was down in the, near the Jordan. I don't know if you realize where that is, but...
No.
You go out of Lewistown.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then you swing way to Jordan and up to Circle and down to Glendive, if you go there, in that area.
Yeah, all right.
The place was actually near Mosby. And he was given credit for his time in the service, so it was the same as proving up.
I see.
It wasn't much of a place, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Never did do much with improving it.
Okay. How big a place did you have when you went to the Stanford country then?
It was about 320 acre. I have an idea.
When the I was trying to think of how you got the milk and cream into Lewistown.
We took it into Stanford.
Oh, into Stanford.
Stanford, yes.
Was there a creamery?
Yes,
in
Stanford
at that time.
At least a place where you took it. I'm not sure it was a creamery, but it was
at least a
station
depot or whatever you call it.
Yes.
Yeah, and you would have to take it to town yourselves, would you?
Oh yes. You know, they had 5 gallon cans, and that would go in the old Ford.
Must have been a lot of what little I was around ever running a cream separator. There must have been a lot of washing of that stuff, wasn't it?
At first. I had large milk pans. I still have a couple.
Milk pans.
And they were granite, and they had covers and everything. And you left off the cover until the cream rose. And then you put it on. And we didn't have refrigeration. And we did have a cellar under the house that kept things fairly cool. And that's where the milk was kept for the time being. And just before I left Stanford, I thought, well, I had to... been substituted in my sister-in-law's bridge club quite a bit, and I better entertain them. So I decided I'd have a bridge luncheon. And I made cream puffs, and I first decided I'd have a lemon filling and then put whipped cream on top. So I got the thing all settled and got the custard made and everything, but when I went to whip the cream, it was just getting a little bit too late in the season for that cellar to keep it, even from one day to the next, you know, so it went to butter.
so much for cream puffs, huh?
Well, buttered cream puffs, I'm sure, are very nice.
I had a pudding in the middle of them. That's all they could have that day.
Right.
And we had some great times.
How often would you take that cream to town, and how long could you keep it like that?
Well, not about, too long.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. That's pretty constant trips to town.
Say a week, maybe 8 days, or there up to 10. I don't think we could any more than 10.
If the weather wasn't too hot.
Yes, and after a while I did have a separator.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the circumstances now, but I had a separator, and that's an awful chore.
Yeah, was that an improvement or not in handling this stuff? That is, isn't it?
I've never seen that done. What sort of a gadget is a separator?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, there are a whole string of discs, and when they get them ready to wash, you put them on a metal thing like that. But you, when you go to wash them, you got to reach in there and do each one separately, and then scald them after you get through. And then there are tube things. There's a thing that two of them fit together, and one, the tube goes for the see.
The skim,
for this skim milk and the other one for the cream. Mm-hmm. And I always had a brush, you know, that went down through that and cleaned those good. And the rest of it didn't amount to too much, but those discs took quite a bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you were on that place till, did you say 33?
Till 33, and we thought that was a real godsend when we found out that this doctor who owned the place up there wanted somebody to come and take over.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a heart specialist from Cincinnati, and he owned the place known as Arrow Peak Ranch.
Oh, really?
And this ranch had been purchased from a man in Great Falls by the name of Ford, and he had built a lovely big two-story house up on the bench for his wife because she didn't care for the farmhouse. We lived down on the creek, so to speak, in the old-fashioned farmhouse. But he had built this home for her, but she didn't like that either, so they sold this ranch to Dr. Benjamin and a partner. But after a while, they built what we called a lodge building, like they have in Glacier Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that was built at the opposite end of this little bench. And that's where they lived.
It's quite an establishment.
Yeah, so it was lovely. Yeah. It was really lovely.
Were they out here very much? Or?
No, they just spent the summers.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't spend the time, and they always brought a lot of guests.
Uh-huh.
And we took care of everything up there. That is, we got the maids to come and get the place ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they arrived, we furnished them all the vegetables and the cream and butter. Mm-hmm. I had to make sweet butter because they were Jewish.
Hmm. And is that part of being kosher? I didn't, or...
Yeah, no
is it?
Salt.
No, oh, no salt.
Yes. And then chickens, of course, we raised chickens, and they could get their fryers. And
no pork, right?
Well, they weren't Orthodox, so they didn't care. They had hams up there that they bought.
Uh-huh. But they still wanted sweet butter.
Sweet butter,
yes,
yeah. Maybe they're simply used to it then or something.
And then they liked to have their sons work in the hayfield. They had three sons. And so it was arranged. We always had a lot of chores to do before they could go to the field to do the work. So it gave them plenty of time. And they would go down and take their lunch, the same as my husband and the other hired men, and go down to this ranch, which was the farm place, was 4.5 miles down the creek. So they would go down there and spend the day, and then come back in the evening and have their dinner and so on.
Uh huh.
They were quite formal up there.
Yeah, this is.
Uh-huh.
Were these guys pretty good hay hands? Straight out of Cincinnati?
They were all right.
Yeah.
They did pretty well.
Uh-huh.
And of course, they had a big string of horses, saddle horses.
Uh-huh.
And when their guests came, they always had a mount for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, darn.
And they'd ride up and down the creek in the forest area and so on.
Yeah.
Well, now you want to know about the Mormon crickets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me see. I can't remember exactly the year that those hit us. And
well, Jim thought they were
maybe
36.
Yes,
that
it could have been.
Sound reasonable?
Yes,
yeah.
That sounds reasonable. And we were told that they were on the way. Now, those crickets did not cross the Missouri. They were on the east side.
Hmm.
It's because if you want to go and talk to my brother and his wife later about some of these other things, why, they don't fill you in on some of the other.
Hmm. Are they here in town too?
Yes, they are.
Uh-huh.
But the Mormon crickets were coming, and we had planned a picnic. It was a Sunday, and we'd planned a picnic down at a place about 2 miles below us. And the Fort Benton people were coming out. So we went down there and we finished our meal and everything, and some of them wanted to go up and see the place. And it was early enough in the year so that the Benjamins had not arrived yet. But nevertheless, we had the garden all planted and everything ready that as far as we could go with it. So we went home and decided we better as soon as we got up there, the crickets were starting to cross the creek. Now, they were coming from the...
What creek would that be?
Highwood.
Highwood Creek.
Highwood Creek. And they were coming from, let me see, would that be north? Or it could be northeast.
Mm-hmm.
But they were traveling right over the mountains, you know. And then they had to come down. We had quite a cliff just across the road from us. So they came down over that and come over the creek. And, you know, they just travel over the top of one another. And away they came and they took everything in the garden that was above ground.
Huh.
Mm.
But my girl that I had during the summer to help me so that I could work outside some too. She worked in the house and helped take care of the children and so on. And by the way, when she first came to work for us, we paid her 50 cents a day. Didn't that sound terrific?
Yeah.
But later on, the Benjamins helped with her pay because they figured that by me having her, it saved them a hired man, another man.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I said to Ethel, which was her name, I said, Ethel, let's quickly... can the spinach, that way we can save it. So we gathered the spinach and did it just as we'd always done, you know, with pressure cooker and all that. Not one jar kept.
Oh yeah?
I don't know why that happened, but not one single jar they had spoiled.
Huh. Oh,
oh, that was really true.
Could you see these?
Where?
You could see these crickets covering the ground, sort of? What size?
I would say about that big. Oh, yes, they were horrid. They just went right up over your house and everything.
A couple inches long?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they were big.
Huh. And Jim says they couldn't fly, but they jumped. Is that?
Well, yes. Sort of hopped along.
Yeah, hopped along.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they were awful.
Yeah.
And my father came out. It was 4th of July. And so he and Mother came out to spend the day with us. And he had a lot of fun telling the children to put them in cans and then put a firecracker in. You know, you wouldn't think you'd even want to be outside with the darn things. They were just horrible.
Uh-huh. What color were they? Were they green?
Kind of, no,
or whatever.
More brown.
A brown, huh? Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
How long did it take them to work on through then?
Well, not but 2 or 3 days, I guess. Mm. Uh-huh.
They never crossed the...
Maybe a couple of days. I don't remember exactly, but...
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They never crossed the Missouri.
No, here, they just kept right on the east side.
Uh-huh.
They were hopping. I guess they couldn't hop that far.
No. I guess, yeah.
And the creek, you know, wasn't as wide as this room, even. So...
Mm-hmm.
They could get across that quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it bothered with a bridge.
Jim mentions your... Let's see. Section of this letter. Remembers your husband pouring oil on that creek once.
Do you remember that? May have tried that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, to try and keep them from crossing. And he also says that galvanized iron sheeting.
Yes, I guess the farmers tried that.
Farmers tried.
Mm-hmm. And they dug trenches, and I've forgotten how they.
Yeah, he says they. Let's see, the edge of the sheeting was pushed into the soft dirt along the furrow. Then at certain intervals along this fence, they would dig a deep pit. And evidently the crickets would follow along that fence, trying to get over it, and then fall in the pit.
Yeah,
his
then,
occasional
I guess
pits
they must have used oil with
use
that.
Oil, pour oil on
uh-huh.
them
mm-hmm.
and set them afire, I guess. But, boy, that's a lot of work to try. Do that around the field, too.
I was so busy always at the house that I didn't get to go out and see this sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when you were running that place for the Benjamins, how big an operation was it just to run the place year-round? Did you have ranch hands and so forth? Was
well,
it a sizable
we just usually
place
had one man
year-round,
but they did have some cattle.
Uh-huh, that's what I wondered.
And they had to be fed.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and then there was this hayland down there, and the cattle were kept down there, so that's where they're fed.
And of course, riding and horses, too, you said.
The horses, you didn't have to, they just rustled for themselves.
I see. Let them go. Huh?
But we had horses to use when it was necessary, because it would get so... we'd get really snowbound with cars. Couldn't get out at all. So then they would usually get a big hay rack that was on sleds and on runners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd go back and forth with that. Well, you see, our children went to school about 2.5 miles down. So we had to get them to school, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had the habit of dropping them off as they went down to the other place.
Uh-huh.
Then they'd pick them up when school was out and bring them home.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. How long were you on that place?
We were there until 42.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. So 9 years. Mm-hmm. 9 years worth, huh? Yeah. I was trying to think of some things that would have happened in the early part of the Depression there. The bank holiday of 1933, do you have any memory of that? Or did
yes.
you have enough money to be bothered by it?
Oh, I remember listening. We did have radio.
Mm-hmm.
We listened to the president because he assured us that everything was going to be all right, and it was a lot of comfort, you know, to hear those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I imagine there was a lot of barter going on in that country, too. A weaned calf for a tricycle, you mentioned.
Could have been, yeah. But I didn't hear about too much of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
No, everybody got along the best they could. And for a social life, this sounds kind of funny, but we went to Ladies' Aid up on the bench from where we lived. And
mm-hmm.
we didn't go to town for our social life too much. Well, but we went up there to a Ladies' Aid. It was really connected with a Presbyterian church that was off to the east of us quite a ways. But that whole area, the women all went to that. And I remember one of my neighbors said, "No, I can't go, because you know the 15 cents that we put in the plate would buy a pair of stockings for my children."
Is that right?
So she didn't go, but they saw to it that she went after that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But those are some of the little things
right.
like that.
Yeah. That's why I was wondering. Did, uh-huh. You did have neighbors out there who
yes.
were pretty
oh,
close
yes.
to...
Yes, the neighbors were quite close.
Uh-huh.
And we went to this about every 2 weeks or something like that and had a little lunch in the afternoon, and the children got to go and they
mm-hmm.
played together while we were having our little meeting.
Yeah.
And one of the wives was ironing with one of those gasoline irons, and she ran out of gasoline and didn't know that she had to just cool it down to absolute cold before she put any more in. So she lost her home.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The whole place went up, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Were there people who moved out of that area during the Depression? Did people have to give up?
Mosquito about to get you.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, we just bring them in with our with us, I think.
Yes,
yeah.
We did that.
Yes, we've been facing that in Great Falls, too.
I don't remember of anybody giving up their
mm-hmm.
home or moving out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But later we found out that there were many places, and especially over in this area, where they did, after the homestead days, and people bought up the land, and that's why some of our farms are pretty good size now,
mm-hmm.
because they were able to get it pretty cheap.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, these are pretty sizable spreads
yes.
out here, aren't they? Yeah.
But I might add something about the farm situation,
mm-hmm.
that we went through the Dust Bowl over there like they did in Kansas, and the people were not farming with strips those days.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the strip?
Yes,
thing.
Yes, right.
And so the field west of us, if it was a summer fallowed thing, we got it in the house. Oh,
uh-huh.
It was one awful thing.
Uh-huh. At which house, which location?
Yeah, it was at Stanford.
At Stanford, you got that
yes.
much dust. Uh-huh.
And I know that I put rags, wet rags, and put them along the windowsills
mm-hmm.
and everything to try and
mm-hmm.
keep it out, but it
yeah.
came in anyway. I guess the houses weren't too tight or
yeah.
something.
That's right. The original notion out here was just plow up the
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
countryside and see what could be done with it, didn't
mm-hmm.
they? So I wonder when strip farming really came in.
Well, it wasn't part of that too long after that. I would say that probably in, by 30, well, let me see. We were still doing that when we left. So let's say even a couple of years later, say 35 possibly.
So you have a son in the Soil Conservation Service. I wonder if some of that Depression era.
I don't think it had anything to do with what how he got into this. He wanted to be a chemist. And so, well, it didn't look like there's much chance to go to college. And but his father died, and his insurance would take care of it. So. So he got to go, and I sent all three of them.
What professions are the other two in?
Well, Bob's in agriculture too. He's he's in a way he's an ortho man. He was their national account representative, but then they recalled him and put him in Iowa to start a distribution point. But they're having difficulties now. Because the farmers can't. They just can't pay the prices. So he's in San Francisco now trying to work out some new plan to either lower the, well, make a cheaper grade or something that they can use, you see. So that's what he's up to. He was supposed to be home this week, but he isn't going to make it.
Your son tells me that both you and your husband were college graduates. You mentioned he went to Iowa State. Had you set out to be a teacher or anything, or?
Well, not at first, but then I decided I better get something to earn a living. So I taught 2 years before we were married, and then after he was gone, I taught at least 10.
Where did you teach?
First in Whitehall, and then here 8 years.
You never had a one-room country school then, or did you?
No, I taught home economics.
Taught home economics in the high school.
But so. I got in on a few other subjects along the way too.
How big was Fort Benton when you were went through high school here and then taught here both,
Yes.
Was it more sizable than now or not?
Oh well, in some ways, yes. But then it's mostly retired farmers that live here. And so you can't say it's too sizable. The young people all want to go someplace else. So I don't really know. We thought the population was something under 2,000, but I don't know what it is.
I see it's listed as 1,700 in the Automobile Association book.
Well, that's
which
probably
is is the last census. Was there was there any kind of river traffic when you were growing up here? Were there
the
still
stuff
coming up
the
river?
The only thing that I got to see was the dredge boats.
The dredges.
They came up once a year. Until, well, I guess I was 15 or 16 before.
These were old paddle wheel dredges?
Yes, they came up. I don't know where they started from, but it was supposed to keep the channel open.
And let's see, I guess Fort Peck would have been the first dam on the Missouri, would it? The channel would have been open until all this far until.
My father did oppose that.
Is that right?
So he said they're making such a mistake because someday they'll want to use that river for transportation. All in Europe they do it all the time. They use all their rivers.
Right.
And they'll want this river, and they're going to ruin it by putting that dam in. But I guess the power people didn't think so.
Evidently not.
Where do you folks live?
In Seattle.
Oh, in Seattle.
Yeah, we've been there about 16 years now, I guess. But I grew up in White Sulphur. And I went to high school at Valier up here. And so we're going back up to the Choteau Valier country next week and spend some time. And that's where this book I'm working on will mostly be set. But the people I'll have in it will have relatives around the state and experiences elsewhere in the state, so mm-hmm. almost anything to do with Montana in the 30s. So.
Well, now, if you wanted to know anything about those other things like them, the grasshoppers and the, some of those other things that destroyed crops, why, my brother could tell you about that.
Uh-huh. Was he a farmer in this area?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
He farmed out on the Teton. See, we have three rivers that come together down here. You see the Teton and the Marias go into the Missouri.
Right.
And he was out on the Teton for quite a while, and then the three brothers went together on a proposition down about 28 miles from here, and that's right on the Missouri. So they surveyed that and put in ditches mm-hmm. for alfalfa, and they raised alfalfa seed as well as he had truck garden. Pretty expensively.
Uh-huh. So they had their own sort of irrigation.
And he's retired setup. And his son-in-law runs the place. And
mm-hmm.
They do a different kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is his name?
That's the C.G. Stranahan.
Mm-hmm. C.G. Stranahan. Okay. Okay, we're going to look around town, and Carol's going to take some photographs for me, and after lunch maybe we can try to do that. Mm-hmm. We thought we'd drive back to Great Falls by going down around the High Woods. Down through Stanford and so forth. I don't think I've ever been across.
Now you can have that. That tells you about the town.
Oh, good. Uh-huh. Yeah, because.
Well, now I'll tell you, you don't have to go to Stanford to get to Great Falls, but you go to Highwood, and then it's the same distance, really, except that you have to go over some dirt roads
mm-hmm.
to okay. get to Highwood, and then it's paved from there in.
Uh-huh. It's paved from Highwood on to the highway. Mm-hmm. Okay. About how much dirt road would there be to get to Highwood? Enough to bother?
Well, it won't unless it's pouring rain or something. The road is all right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well,
it gets kind of slick. When
yeah.
Somehow
that's
they
what
gravel it and it all goes into the ditches.
Right. It all
goes. Uh-huh.
It gets thrown off into ditches, all right. So, you people, when you and your husband work pretty much around cattle or around farming.
Yes.
When you never ran. Did anybody run sheep out in that Highwood country?
No. After we left Highwood, we went back over in the Belt area, and he had charge of purebred Herefords there, a pretty large place.
Is that what Benjamins were running too?
No,
were they running purebred cattle? Or
they
just
had purebred cattle, but it was shorthorns.
Uh huh.
They had shipped out from some place in the east.
Mm hmm. Did they pretty much leave the running of the place to your husband?
Pretty much. It was correspondence, but then, they didn't, I often wondered if they didn't want it for tax reasons as much as anything else, But however, they did want it for a place for the summer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would the whole family simply pack up from Cincinnati and
come out for
the summer?
Well, they weren't there longer than 2 months because mm-hmm. the boys were still in high school, I guess. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
You said they bring quite a few friends with them, too, would they?
Well, they'd come out afterwards, they'd meet some here and there, and some of them may have driven. I don't remember about that part.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of guests.
Mm-hmm. Then your husband would get together a haying crew and put up the hay on the place. Mm-hmm. Was it a pretty sizable haying season, or...?
Well, I don't know that place was too big. Mm-hmm. Where actually, Benjamin had acquired it through a mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Did you cook for a haying crew then? Or?
Well, the only cooking I had to do was breakfast and supper, but then I had to have lots of lunch things, you see.
That would go out?
I baked my own bread and...
We
always had lunch meats and things of that nature, and lots of cookies or cake or whatever to put in the lunch boxes. I don't remember too much about fruit. I don't think we could have had too much fruit for that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, we tried to when the children were in school, and they didn't have hot lunches until
mm-hmm.
about the last year they were out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you were teaching here in Fort Benton, what kind of a schedule did you have there? Did you teach home economics all day long, or did you have to do other things? I had teachers who taught various things.
Mostly, although after a while I got rung in on physical education, which I wasn't very happy about.
Yeah, that's what I wondered.
I hadn't prepared for that, you know. Yeah. But I taught freshman English 3 years along with home ec, and then I taught straight home economics for a while, and then afterwards I had this other. And then the last year I taught, I just told the superintendent I'd about had it on physical education. Mm-hmm. So he got somebody else.
Mm-hmm. My high school up at Valair, there were about 100 or 120 students in high school. I suppose this was a bigger one here, wasn't it?
Well, a little, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When I graduated from the old Schroeder County High School, and we had just 80.
80 in high school, yeah, that's comparable, yeah. Have you kept track of those people? Did a lot of them stay on here?
Yes. When I can't sleep at night, I go over all the ones I know in this area.
Uh-huh.
They're about 40-some.
Is that right? Yeah. Seems to me this is a more stable area of Montana than some others, so.
Yes, a good many of the girls married ranchers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Stayed right here.
Stayed right around here.
Yeah. Well, I've about run out of questions. Carol, can you think of anything?
That's not very helpful. Might
add? No, it really is very helpful. So, I think we'll call that good, and thank you for your time on this.
You're very much to go on, but still.
Anybody who lived through it, you know, knows more about it than somebody simply trying to make it up.
And
so,
when you get ready to write, you just turn this on and get a little bits of information.
Yes.